make it sound so easy. And yet in the moment of decision, fear wins more often than not. Why is that?
You've been taught to live in fear. You have been told about the survival of the fittest, and the victory of the strongest, and the success of the cleverest. Precious little is said about the glory of the most loving. And so you strive to be the fittest, the strongest, the cleverest, in one way or another. And if you see yourself as something less than this in any situation, you fear loss, for you have been told that to be less is to lose. And so, of course, you choose the action fear sponsors, for that is what you've been taught. Yet I teach you this. When you choose the action love sponsors, then you will do more than survive. Then you will do more than win. Then you will do more than succeed. Then will you experience the full glory of who you really are and who you can be. To do this, you must turn aside the teachings of your well-meaning but misinformed worldly tutors and hear the teachings of those whose wisdom comes from another source. There are many such teachers among you, as always there have been, for I will not leave you without those who would show you, teach you, guide you, and remind you of these truths. Yet the greatest reminder is not anyone outside you, but the voice within you. This is the first tool that I use because it is the most accessible. The voice within is the loudest voice with which I speak because it is the closest to you. It is the voice which tells you whether everything else is true or false, right or wrong, good or bad, as you have defined it. It is the radar that sets the course, steers the ship, guides the journey, if you but let it. It is the voice which tells you right now whether the very words you are listening to are words of love or words of fear. By this measure can you determine whether they are words to heed or words to ignore.
You said that when I always choose the action that love sponsors, then I will experience the full glory of who I am and who I can be. Will you expand on this, please?
There is only one purpose for all of life, and that is for you and all that lives to experience fullest glory. Everything else you say, think, or do is attendant to that function. There is nothing else for your soul to do, and nothing else your soul wants to do. The wonder of this purpose is that it is never-ending. An ending is a limitation, and God's purpose is without such a boundary. Should there come a moment in which you experience yourself in your fullest glory, you will in that instant imagine an ever greater glory to fulfill. The more you are, the more you can become. And the more you can become, the more you can yet be. The deepest secret is that life is not a process of discovery, but a process of creation. You are not discovering yourself, but creating yourself anew. Seek, therefore, not to find out who you are. Seek to determine who you want to be.
There are those who say that life is a school, that we are here to learn specific lessons, that once we graduate, we can go on to larger pursuits, no longer shackled by the body. Is this correct?
It is another part of your mythology based on human experience.
Life is not a school?
Nope.
We're not here to learn lessons?
Nope.
Well, then why are we here?
To remember and recreate who you are. I've told you over and over again, you do not believe me. Yet that is well as it should be. For truly, if you do not create yourself as who you are, that you cannot be.
Okay, all right, you've lost me. Let's go back to this school bit. I've heard teacher after teacher tell us that life is a school. I'm frankly shocked to hear you deny that.
School is a place you go if there is something you do not know that you want to know. It is not a place you go if you already know a thing and simply want to experience your knowingness. Life, as you call it, is an opportunity for you to know experientially which you already know conceptually. You need learn nothing to do this. You need merely remember what you already know and act on it.
I'm not sure I understand.
Let's start here. The soul, your soul, knows all there is to know all the time. There's nothing hidden to it, nothing unknown, yet knowing is not enough. The soul seeks to experience. You can know yourself to be generous, but unless you do something which displays generosity, you have nothing but a concept. You can know yourself to be kind, but unless you do someone a kindness, you have nothing but an idea about yourself. It is your soul's only desire to turn its grandest concept about itself into its greatest experience. Until concept becomes experience, all there is speculation. I have been speculating about myself for a long time, longer than the age of the universe times the age of the universe. You see then how young it is, how new is my experience of myself.
Wait, you've lost me again. Your experience of yourself?
Yes, let me explain it to you this way. In the beginning, that which is all there was, and there was nothing else. Yet, all that is could not know itself, because all that is all there was, and there was nothing else. And so all that is was not. For in the absence of something else, all that is not. This is the great is-not-is to which mystics have referred from the beginning of time. Now, all that is knew it was all there was. But this was not enough, for it could only know its utter magnificence conceptually, not experientially. Yet the experience of itself is that for which it longed. For it wanted to know what it felt like to be so magnificent. Still, this was impossible, because the very term magnificent is a relative term. All that is could not know what it felt like to be magnificent unless that which is not showed up. In the absence of that which is not, that which is not. Do you understand this?
I think so. Keep going.
All right. The one thing that all that is knew is there was nothing else. And so it could and would never know itself from a reference point outside of itself. Such a point did not exist. Only one reference point existed, and that was the single place within the is not is, the am not am. Still, the all of everything chose to know itself experientially. This energy, this pure, unseen, unheard, unobserved, and therefore unknown by anyone else energy, chose to experience itself as the utter magnificence it was. In order to do this, it realized it would have to use a reference point within. It reasoned, quite correctly, that any portion of itself would necessarily have to be less than the whole, and that if it thus simply divided itself into portions, each portion, being less than the whole, could look back on the rest of itself and see magnificence. And so all that is divided itself, becoming in one glorious moment that which is this and that which is that. For the first time, this and that existed, quite apart from each other, and still both existed simultaneously, as did all that was neither. Thus, three elements suddenly existed, that which is here, that which is there, and that which is neither here nor there, but which must exist for here and there to exist. It is the nothing which holds the everything. It is the non-space which holds the space. It is the all which holds the part.